Greetings in Jesus' precious name. Welcome to each one of you this morning. I would like to thank you, Brother Brian and Brother Stanley, for your thoughts this morning. And I would like to take the liberty to speak on the behalf of God's Word, specifically to the mothers here. I don't intend to try to tickle your ears and make you feel good like some Hallmark cards that maybe are unrealistic at times. But I would like to take a look at the Bible. What does the Bible say about the role of a wife and a mother? I believe that it is a very sacred calling. And I want to say on the onset, here are two things. I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry if there's some of you sitting here that for some reason did not experience motherhood like you would have desired to. I know the world is full of children who are rejected by their own mother, people who don't have the blessing of growing up in a home with their biological mother. I would also like to say to the men over here on this side that don't sit here and think, oh, if my wife would just somehow fulfill her calling that is written in God's Word, then everything would be so much better. If it is a case where you might be hindering her. If you remember what Brother Eli Yoder shared here a number of weeks ago, he said, the buck stops where? The buck stops with us men. And let us do our job. So if we could, let's all rise, and I would like to begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, come here this morning with grateful hearts again for this special opportunity to be gathered together as saints, the called out ones, a city on a hill, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would give us humble hearts to receive of your word. Humble minds, Lord, that we could learn and understand the things that you care about, that are very practical in our everyday life, even on the subject of motherhood. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Remember, Brother Simon said one time, I don't know if it was talking to the mothers or if it was talking specifically maybe to this gender, that he is certain if he would deliver this message in some churches, he would never be asked to come back again and maybe even be asked to step down from the pulpit. So I know this is a very sensitive subject, but it is a subject, nevertheless, that we see in the Bible. And there's one thing that we have all in common this morning, and that is we all have a mother. We are not all a mother, but we all have a mother. A few weeks before World War I, there was one lady, as I understand, that proposed this whole idea that our country sets a day aside in honor of our mothers. And it was brought to a joint Congress meeting and passed with flying colors. And so America leads the way the second Sunday in May to set a day aside and honor our mothers. I think it's scriptural that we honor our mothers. It was so important to God that he actually had Moses, or I guess he did it with his own fingers first, engrave it in a stone. Honor your father and your mother. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. As an opening scripture, we won't stay here, but I'd like for all of us just to consider God's original design God's original plan with the first mother that was ever on planet Earth. And as you know, this is completely, completely opposite of what the world wants to teach today. This all started with a Big Bang. We're all created equal. And this whole idea of roles in a home is completely missing. Genesis chapter 3, in verse 16, God talks to the woman and says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Just ponder that one for a little bit. This is God speaking, brothers and sisters. This does not take a college education to understand what God is saying here. God said he's going to multiply her sorrow in her conception, her sorrow in bringing forth children, and her desire shall be for her husband. And he shall rule over her. To Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree in which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. All right, turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Book of Titus chapter 2. Paul here is giving Titus, one of his men he has ordained in a local church, instructions. And I would like to take a real close look this morning together at what does the Bible say. First here, he's just finished warning the false teachers. He's telling the elders there to rebuke them sharply so that they may be sound in the faith. And then he goes in verse 1, chapter 2, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And the verse 3 to 5 is the verses that I want this morning. It says, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why? So that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Who is Paul giving the job description to teach young women? You may say, well, surely it would be the leader's job of the church. But if I understand here, Paul is telling Titus that they should teach the older women, or he should teach the older women, so that their behavior is holy, so that they're not false accusers. Whereas New King James Version says that they're not slanderers. They're not going about wagging their tongues and slandering people and doing the things that are not comely for saints. They're not given too much wine, but rather they are teachers of good things. The aged women should teach the young women. In verse 4, older women, I believe, bring experience, they bring sympathy, and they bring understanding to the table. They have lived many years, and they have seen cycles, and they have seen the results of what you sow, you reap. And if you're a young woman here this morning, I'm going to tell you right off, find some old women who can do these things. The Bible asks that this happens. If you know of older women who are not silly or cynical, but rather wise and sober, and as Paul says, not slanderers, teachers of good things, find these women and befriend them. Let them put their arms around you and say, this is the way that you walk. Ask them, how do you love your husbands? Verse 4, older women, you should teach the younger women how to love. Now you may say, well, in Ephesians 5, it says that men should love their wives. And you're right, it does say that. But it also says here that women should love their husbands. That's the first thing that I see, that you ought to teach younger women, to be sober and to love their husbands. You may say, well, why would you teach somebody to love? Love comes naturally, right? Well, not always. We're not talking about affection, just doing what feels right. How about kindness? How about fondness and affection? One commentator says that in the area of teaching the younger women to love their husbands, that it's far more than just kissing him when he leaves for work. How about teaching her to respect him?
By acknowledging that he is the head of the home.
And when he makes major decisions, honoring them.
When he makes major decisions, honor those decisions.
How about loving him by keeping
an orderly home? Now, if that's not important to your husband, then I would say there's no big deal. If your husband doesn't care about the home not being neat and orderly, then they shouldn't even, that's not a big deal. But if it is important to him, by all means, do it.
That's loving him. It's kind of comical today that this thing comes up. She dresses pretty. If it's important to your husband that you are very particular with how you dress, then you can love him by doing that. By living within the means that God has provided for you. By confessing promptly, if you fail in some area, honor your husband and just confess. By forgiving graciously and keeping the lines of communication open. And I will say this to your credit. God has made most women to be very good communicators. And keep doing that. Keep those lines of communication open. And try to refrain from criticizing him or contradicting him, especially in front of other people. Criticizing him or contradicting him in front of other people. This will come back to bless you. Love your husbands, the older women who are among us. Teach the young women how to do these things. It says to love their children. What woman does not love her children? Isaiah, I think it is Isaiah that says that, how can you forget the child that, how can a woman forget the child that she nurses? Or not love the child that she nurses? Well, loving your children, women and men, is not just by letting them do whatever they want to do. Loving your children is not just by letting them go wherever they want to go. Surely we understand that. And older women, teach the young women these things. Your children are to be subject. It's not by letting them be
free to do whatever they want to do, or fill their mind with all kinds of garbage when they're young, and then they later have to undo that. I know we don't watch television here, but what about video games that are foolish? Or even just videos that are foolish? Love your children. We are living in a day when the exaltation of a career has made many mothers absent, or made them absent from their home. And the chickens have come home to roost. I believe right now what we're seeing in the world today is just a result of 50 years of mothers who are absent in the home. Mothers who have chose a career when God has called them to love their husbands, to love their children, and that is their primary duty. What about mothers? What about weekly or even daily, if you can, reading to your children? There's libraries, there's books, and you should take opportunity. The child's life, their 10 years of molding them is so short. Read to your children. Pray with your children. Be there when they come home from school. And I thought about this. I was one of the boys who went to school. And we were chartered to the school with a school bus. So every morning we were picked up with the bus, public transport, and every evening we were dropped off. And you know, as I look back at the days I went to school and remembered, I could count on, when I came home from school, my mom was there. When I got up in the morning, my mom was there. When I went to bed at night, my mom was there. And I probably took those things just simply for granted. Love your children. Another commentator says, by disciplining your children fairly, you love them. Disciplining them fairly, but yet firmly. Molding them for the Lord's service rather than for the world and for hell. Molding them for the Lord's service rather than for the world and then eternal hell. Number three, teach the young women to be discreet. Some of your Bibles, I think, would use the word discreet. I think it means self-controlled, if I'm not right. Teach the young women to be self-controlled. And this is a big one. What does it mean to be discreet? I'd be very interested in hearing what you all think when you see that word discreet in the Bible. That they should be discreet. They should be self-controlled. Doesn't that affect a lot of areas in our life? It could mean when you go shopping, do you spend money within your budget? Are you self-controlled? When your child comes in with their dirty boots and forgets to shed them before they come into the kitchen, do you throw a big hissy fit, or are you controlled and take that moment to teach? Avoiding extremes, being sensible, to be self-controlled, to be discreet. Surely this will have a huge molding effect on your children, mothers, if you, by example, teach them how to be controlled or self-controlled. You should be chaste. You should be faithful to your husbands, avoiding impure thoughts, words, or actions. To be chaste. Should be teaching them to be keepers at home. Keepers at home. Some translations are going to say busy at home. Some translations, I think, say homemakers. And again, I don't think it takes more than a first grade education to understand what the Bible is teaching you older women to teach the younger women here. To work at home. To be a keeper at home. to be busy at home. And much ink has been wasted to explain this all away. And it starts small. I understand there's churches who say, well, you know, the whole flood theory doesn't make any sense. We can just get rid of that in the Bible. But the rest of it we'll keep. Rest of it, no, that's, yeah, that we'll keep that. Well, if you can take Genesis 6 out of the Bible, then finally you say, well, yeah, this doesn't make sense either. Why can't we just throw this out of the Bible? This is the world that we live in. This is the society of 50 years now of this teaching of, or the propaganda, I should say, of women pursuing careers above being a homemaker. I remember Sister Anne was talking about one of her hospital visits recently, and she was so appreciative of all the lady nurses and doctors that helped her, And then it hit her, and she said, I wonder how many of these are mothers. How many of those mothers have their children at a daycare center? Well, when they come from home from school, they're not there. And they're paying other people to help raise their children. We had a young lady here who just got married. I hope you don't mind me sharing this, last year. And she worked a career, or she worked at a good store. But before she got married, she stopped her job and decided she's going to stay at home. I think it's so noble. I don't want to paint a picture that it's bad for young girls to work. But if you're going to become a wife and you're going to become a mother, then why, of all things, would you continue with a career? The reason this stuck out to me is my wife and I were recently in Africa for 2 weeks. And it was specifically this young mother, or this young wife, that took the opportunity to bless our daughter with a meal and helped out by breaking their time up. And I just thought, could have that been done if that young wife would be full-time employed, pursuing a career, taking another education on the side? Would have they had the time to come and bless another family in such a special way? I would like to say one more thing. How many of you have seen this poster? We can do it. Raise your hand. Oh, I'm surprised. So it is Rosie the Riveter, and she's showing off her muscles. One of my sons looked at it this morning and said, well, what's she trying to show? She doesn't even have any muscles. But this was the propaganda in 1940s. Rosie the Riveter. We can do it. And she's showing off her muscles. It's comical, if you ask me. But think about it. Think with me, men. Where were the men to allow this kind of propaganda? When God's word says, and it has infiltrated into the church today, for many, many centuries here in America, it was considered normal to just pursue a homemaker. And I honestly believe, not in our circles, but I honestly believe we are very, very strange. But praise God, let's keep it this way. Now the women can do anything the men can do. And it is not God's design. I'm here to tell you, by the authority of God's word this morning, this is not God's design for women, you women, to pursue careers to the extent of, or to default the home. I'm not trying to paint broad strokes with brushes. I know there's callings that you want to be mindful of, but never do it at the expense of your family. Never, ever. If you're a wife and a mother. And then he says, they should be good. Keepers at home, good. And I'm thinking some of your translation says they should be kind. Teach them how to live for others, to be hospitable, to be gracious, to be generous, not to be self-centered, and not to be possessive. Be kind and be good. And I thought of that, I thought of the verse that says that if any woman has an unbelieving husband, that he may be won without the word by your chaste conduct, by your kindness. Did you know, women, that the hardest of men have been won over to the Lord by a woman who was kind? It's amazing. God honors His word. He does it in His own timing. He does it in His own way. And I'd like to say He would do it always. I'm not going to say that. But I do know that this actually happens. And I can testify to a small level of that because I was very carnal when we got married and I was won over by my wife's chaste conduct. Teach the younger women to be hospitable, to be gracious, to be generous and not self-centered. And then he says that they should be obedient to their own husband. They should be obedient to their own husband. That's a big one, isn't it? Sometimes the women are more gifted than the man. And if that's the case, she should encourage him, maybe aid him to be more active in the home, maybe aid him to be more involved in the church, but never nag. Always resist that temptation, ladies. Don't nag your husbands, but rather praise them. All of this so that the word of God be not blasphemed. Isn't that what it says? So that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, why did he put that in there? So that the word of God is not evil spoken of. This should be your behavior so that the word of God is not evil spoken of, not blasphemed. I don't know exactly what that all means, but I'm going to suggest that if the women are out of their place, and if you follow Rosie the Riveter in career and in your self-centered pursuit to be equal with man, what do we have to offer to the world? Nothing. We were on a job recently, and I don't remember why we got into this conversation, but I know it was Joseph and myself and this individual. And for some reason, he asked Joseph, who's the boss in our home? And Joseph said, Dad's the boss. And I saw him, you know, have a little bit of a like, okay, what's the next question here? And so he said, well, how about when Mom's around? Who's the boss in your home? And Joseph said, Dad's the boss. Very unapologetically, very straightforwardly, Dad's the boss. And I thought, okay, this is going to get interesting here. But that's the world. That was, to him, strange to hear a 12-year-old boy say, Dad is the boss in the home. We have completely left society, flipped the thing upside down. And men, I'm not so sure today if it's not more on our fault than these ladies. But I am going to say, if you're an aged lady today, you are required to teach the younger women as well. I get out to places, and the woman wants this bush pulled out and that tree cut and this different thing planted here. And the husband is standing off to the side shaking his head. And it is very peculiar and it's a very strange situation to be in when you can see without a shadow that the husband is thinking, like, where is this money going to come from? But this is how the lady wants it. And he has to resort to the fact, well, happy wife, happy life. So we'll somehow get through this, that if this is what she wants, okay, then this is what it is. Women, please hear me this morning. Be obedient to your own husbands. Let them take the lead. God has for many, many years laid out how this works. Your desire should be for your own husband, and he shall rule over you. In closing, I'd just like to thank you mothers who are here this morning, who provide for the needs of your children and only some of their wants. And I didn't write my Mother's Day card, but I'm going to let you in on that. That is specifically what I decided I'm going to write to my mother. Thank you for providing for my needs and only some of my wants. All of a godly woman's hope, all of you mothers here today, of your hope is laid up with your children. You're not going to be remembered by your success of how well you could articulate speeches. I don't think you're going to be remembered on how educated you are. Success in the realm of motherhood, in the process of childbearing, is of giving of yourself. In the process of feeding your children, it's giving of yourself. Think about this. Think about how this starts. How dependent that little child is from the moment of conception. And then you feed the child, the giving of yourself. And in the process of child rearing, there again, there is the giving of yourself. And I watch my own wife, and I remember watching my own mother. She would just give, and she would give. You give of yourself, and that will be, in the end, what your children will praise you for. I thought of something, some poem that I could share that would make you all have a little cry, and then you could go home, and you could all feel better. But I would rather cause you to consider what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 11, we have this incident where Jesus was out and he was teaching. And somewhere in the crowd, some woman shouts out and says, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Sounds like some Hallmark Mother's Day card, right? Blessed is the mother that gave you birth and nursed you. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Blessed rather is the one who hears the word, does it. Blessed rather is the one who hears the word. It's not about who was my mother, but for you mothers this morning. I hope I share this in a way that it can encourage you and not condemn you. Give of yourself to your children and continue giving of yourself. What does a man works from dawn to dusk, but a woman's work is never done. Give of yourself and continue to give of yourself if you're a wife, if you're a mother, and for that you will be blessed. Let's all bow our heads and I will close with a prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that your word is practical, that your word is helpful. Father, we pray that in our generation that we live in, you would give us grace to obey and to make the difference that you have called us to be a light to the world, to be a city set on a hill. Father, we pray this morning that in this area of women, wives, and motherhood, in this day we set aside, you would bless these women with special grace to aspire to homemaking, to loving their wives, loving their husbands, to loving their children, and to fulfill their calling, Father, to make a difference. Father, I think of those who would love to have children and are maybe waiting on you. You would encourage their hearts. And maybe some of us here, Lord. We have lost mothers, and we pray that you would help us to still honor them and to still esteem them highly. Bless our mothers in a very special way, Lord. And especially we think of the older ones among us. Give them the courage and the grace to teach the younger women these things, Lord. So we ask these things all for your glory, so that the word of God will not be blasphemed, so that the word of God will not be evil spoken of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was going to mention, and I forgot, just to, so you don't feel that you are being picked on this side. If you look at the next, I think it's the next five verses, Paul spends three verses in talking about the young men and talking about the young women. And then he spends five verses talking about the young men. And so, again, I plead with you men, don't hinder your wives from being who God has called them to be. Take the leadership in your home and make it easy for them. And you women, God bless you today. I hope you have a very special Mother's Day.